Greetings in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. This beautiful day, that beautiful summer day that God has created for us. Appreciated the thoughts of this service and the songs that were sung. Brother Chad appreciated the first song. I appreciated the second song that Brother Jay led. And it's always refreshing to feel and to know, to have confidence in the Spirit of the Lord working in His people. It's a privilege to be gathered together with you all this morning. Brother Chad's devotional alluded to creation, and it's an aspect of the message this morning as well, and it brought a thought to me that I never had before. Maybe before I get there, I'll introduce the message like this. This is summertime, and one of the aspects of summer is vacation. It's a very important part of summer for a lot of people. There's quite a number of visitors here this morning, and maybe that's why you're here, because you're on vacation. Well, that's fine. I came across this quote: "If there's one thing Americans are bad at, it's taking vacation. We all need the occasional getaway, and for many of us, summer is the perfect time to escape the town for a bit. The problem is, of course, that summertime travel can be expensive. In fact, new data tells us that the average American plans to spend $564 this season for a weekend trip, or $1,928 for a weekend long trip. A week-long trip. Seeing as the majority of U.S. adults have less than $1,000 in the bank, it's safe to assume that many will rack up debt in order to enjoy a vacation." Now, yes, vacation. How should the Christian view vacation? But back to the creation. I'd like to ask a question. What was created the seventh day? Rest. Thank you. It's a new thought to me that we normally think of creation as being as the 6 days. But as I thought about that, I realized that God did create something on the seventh day. He rested. And I believe He created there a pattern for us. And I believe it's God's will this morning that Christians find rest. The title of the message is Resting in the Lord. Now, why do humans need rest? Well, I need rest because I get tired. And God created our bodies that way, that we get tired. We also need rest because we need emotional recharges. You know, sometimes the rest that we need is not physical rest, but it's an emotional rest. And that's something that a vacation can do. It can provide emotional rest, or at least it's supposed to do that. We also need rest because life is so busy. I don't think there's too many people here that would disagree with the fact that life is busy, even when you're on vacation sometimes. I was in a phone conversation, a texting conversation with a friend this past week, and he said something like this: "We don't do things halfway. We go full tilt all the time and keep as many irons in the fire as we can and a few extra thrown in besides." That's the way a lot of us run our lives. But we need rest. Another reason we need rest is because we work so hard. And that's not a bad thing. It's part of the what's called sometimes a Protestant work ethic, and something that is part of our culture. There's cultures in the world who do not work like we do, and that's not wrong. Maybe we have the Protestant work ethic is not necessarily more biblical than other work ethics. Not necessarily. although it is good to be industrious. Is rest a biblical concept? My mind went to Psalm 37, verse 7. You don't need to turn to this verse, but it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Now, that word rest means to be silent. God is calling us to be silent, to rest in him. You see, we do a lot of fretting. We look around at the progress of others. We look here and there and compare ourselves with them and worry that we're not keeping up. We're not waiting patiently in him, but we need to rest. We need to rest. Rest in the Lord is a command. Well, what does God's word say about rest? And I have, from this point on, simply 15 points. And I'm going to move through them rather quickly, but every point relates to a verse. And we're going to go through the Bible and see what God has to say about rest. And we'll move some of the first ones here, got a little long, but then we'll try to speed things up. Number one, what does God's word say about rest? God ordained it. God created it. There's that thought that it's what he created on the seventh day. He was the first one to rest. You can turn to Genesis chapter 2. Very familiar verses, but I'd like to keep your attention this morning and move through these, through the Bible, basically almost always in chronological order, not quite. Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Not only did he ordain it, not only did he create it, but he blessed it and sanctified it. He made it holy. He set it apart. He set it aside. He set it up as this is a good thing. So God knew that we need rest. God knew we needed this day, this set apart day, to be holy. There's an aspect of this day where it is set apart to God. It is sanctified to God. And that makes it a very serious thing about what we do with it. There's also a part of it where it is a rest from our work. It is a change of pace. It is a time to catch our breath. I don't know if you realize it, a little history lesson here, but late 17 and 1800s, there was an effort by the French government, this was during the French Revolution, to do away with the seven-day week and to make it a 10-day week. Well, there was quite a few influences going on there. The French Revolution was not it was an effort not only to overthrow the corrupt system of leadership before, but there was also an effort to eradicate any kind of godliness, any kind of biblical influence. And so they wanted to, of course, the seven-day week is directly out of scriptures. I mean, God, we just looked at these verses. So they designed a 10-day week. They divided the month into 3 weeks each of 10 days. And it lasted from 12 years. It lasted from 1793 to 1805. But you know what? It didn't work so well. I was trying to find some research. I remembered some things from my school days, and I thought my teacher said that the animals even complained about it. But I was trying to think, well, now that doesn't quite make sense. How do animals complain? But I do. But I was able to find that history says that the people, the working class, did not like it. Obviously, they had to work 9 days instead of 6 days before they could find a day of rest. So it didn't seem to work well with man's system. And maybe because of that, it affected the animals as well. But I did realize that there's been other attempts. There's 12 from anywhere from 4 to 5 day week to a 12, maybe a 12 day week. But there's been efforts to improve on the 7 day week, and it has never worked. Number two, closely related to this, but it is a day of rest. This day of rest is to be a refreshing time. Turn to Exodus 31. This caught my eye. There's another new thought to me. I think I knew that it was referred to this way, but I needed this reminder. Exodus 31, verse 17. Well, let's start at, 17. The thought is here continually as we were discussing how 6 days maybe work may be done. Seventh is the day of Sabbath. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. He was refreshed. That brings in another aspect of resting in the Lord. And the seventh day, our Sunday, is when we, in the Old Testament, it was a Sabbath day, our Saturday. New Testament is Sunday. We won't get into more discussion on that. The word refreshed there means to breathe, to be breathed upon. A refreshing, as if by a current of air. And my thought was, if God needed this refreshment, how much more do we need this refreshment? Exodus 23:12 says, 6 days thou shalt do work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thine handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. So the thought is that I have for you this morning, is the question is, are we keeping Sundays a day of rest and a day of refreshment for ourselves and for others? How do I go to bed Sunday evening? Am I feeling refreshed? I think it's God's will, God's design for us to be refreshed. Resting in the Lord. Finding refreshment in the Lord. Number three, turn to Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. The point for number three is God has an interest in our spiritual rest. Numbers chapter 9 gives the account of the cloud and the fire. When the cloud was taken up and moved, then the children of Israel would move. When it stopped, they stopped. Verse 18 says, and at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was when the cloud abode from even until the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, that they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not, but when it was taken up, they journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. God at times commands us to rest. And I don't know if I understand all the deep thoughts that are in this. But sometimes At least in myself, I tend to view the Christian life as a fight, as a hammer down. And then there's aspects to that, that we do need to keep pressing on. We do need to keep fighting the fight every day. We dare not slip back. But there's an aspect where God also commands us to rest. And these verses, it seems to me, at the verse, especially verse 23, it says, at the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents. I believe God at times is commanding us to rest, and other times he's commanding us to move, to journey, to move on. Are we cramming our lives so full of things that we cannot find rest? That's more of a physical rest. Are we cramming our lives so full that we cannot find spiritual rest? I'm not sure if this is all coming out the way it's supposed to. Maybe we'll say it like this. What are some keys for finding spiritual rest? And one would be saying no to temptations before there is a struggle or a fight. If we allow a temptation, if we allow something to simmer in us, and we allow it to grow into our lives, and we allow it to fester there, and then try to get rid of it, it becomes a real struggle. But if we say no to it before we struggle and fight, we'll find rest. Another key for finding rest in spiritual struggles is to ask for help before we've run out of options ourselves. We need to, number three, go to the rock that is higher than I. God has an interest in our spiritual rest. And there's an aspect where he plans that rest by bringing experiences into our lives at times to slow us down. So there's an aspect where God controls it. There's also an aspect where we control it, and we decide our rest by how we deal with what God brings us. Number four, God has an interest in finding rest in our daily lives. This is maybe somewhat similar. This is going maybe back to the physical a little bit more. Turn to Genesis. We're going backward here. Genesis 5, verse 29. Another new thought to me. Didn't remember this was in the scriptures. Genesis 5, verse 29. And Lamech called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Now that word, the word rest is not there, but the word comfort means rest. This same shall give us rest concerning our work and toil of our hands. Well, we know the work and toil of our hands came as a result of the fall. But Noah's name meant rest or comfort. Now, I thought that was very interesting that God named him that, or that Lamech named him that. And we know that what happened, the earth was not at peace at this point. Chapter 6 and 7 and 8 gives the account of the flood. But Noah's name seems to be promising a rest. And as he came out on the green land again and God made a covenant with him, it certainly, God brought rest through Noah. Genesis 8, verse 21 says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more any living thing as I've done. A sweet savor there means a sweet savor of rest or satisfaction. As God again saw this, as it were, a new creation after the flood, it brought him rest. God has an interest in us finding rest in our daily lives. I think a lot of us are familiar with what we call sometimes Southern culture, and we travel somewhere south of here, a couple states south into the Alabama, Mississippi, Florida regions. It seems like they have more time, and they don't really. We all have the same amount of time, obviously. But it seems like their lifestyle is a bit laid back, and there's reasons for that. I've read some of those and agree with some of that partially. Some of it is, you know, the seasons are longer, the heat. It's not just in the northern climate here, we have the seasons that differ very much from one another, and it you have your niches of time, and it makes life and culture more and more hurried. So there's some of those things that God designed that affects the Southern culture. But I appreciate that. I appreciate the time that those folks seem to have for hospitality. They have time for others. They have time to be friendly. But the thought is to me that we all have time. And what is my priorities? Am I always at work? Do I have so much work in my agenda that I do not have time for others? It's a real burden I have for us that we do not allow our culture to drive us into a work mentality that other people don't have time for us. Number five, walking with God brings rest. And you can turn to Exodus chapter 33. Walking with God brings rest. 33 verse 14. Exodus 33 is the chapter after the golden calf experience in 32. It was a disheartening time for Moses. There was a lot of people that lost their lives. It was a very, very low time. But in verse 14, God was giving Moses encouragement, and he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." That was what God was giving to Moses to comfort him during this low time. And guess what God is calling out to us this morning? My presence will go with thee, and I will give you rest this morning. That's what he's calling. That's what he's telling us. But we need to walk with him to find that rest. Are you walking with God? If you are, you will find rest. Number six, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 20. It's breaking into a sentence there. Maybe we'll start at verse 18. "And I commanded you at that time, saying, The Lord your God hath given you this land to possess it. Ye shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war. But your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that you have much cattle, shall abide in your cities, which I have given you, until the Lord hath given rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you, and until they possess the land which the Lord your God hath given you beyond Jordan. Then shall you return every man unto his possession, which I have given you." The thought I have here is that rest comes when we obediently possess the land that God is calling us to conquer. Well, they were to go with the children of Israel to the west side of the Jordan to help them conquer the land, and then they were free to return. But they were to find rest first. And they needed to conquer the land that God was calling them to conquer before they could find that rest. And brothers and sisters, this morning, God is promising a rest, but he's saying there's some work to do first. What is God calling you to conquer this morning? When you're faithful in that calling, then he will provide sweet rest. Number 7, 1 Kings chapter 5. You can turn there. 1 Kings chapter 5 is the reign of Solomon. And I think it was in the, I'm not sure where it is right now, but somewhere it gives the impression that the children of Israel were at peace and they dwelt every man under his, yes, there it is, chapter 4, verse 25. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree. Solomon did make him work hard, but there was rest, I believe, as well. But chapter 5, verse 4 says, "But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent." And the point here is, for number 7, is God gives rest and allows storms. God gives rest and allows storms. And we think back on David's life. David was king before Solomon. And there was a lot of fighting. There was a lot of storms in David's life. Some of those were his own choices. But according to this verse, it seems to me, but and then we know that David had wanted to build a temple, and God told him, "No, you're a bloody man. And your son is to build the temple for me." And God had designed that Solomon's reign would be one of peace overall. And it says in verse 4, "But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side." And maybe I'm stretching this too far, but sometimes I get into thinking that what God gives me is always a direct result of my choice. But we can't put God into a box this morning. Sometimes God gives us rest, and he wants us to enjoy that rest. Sometimes he gives us storm, and then he wants us to ride through the storm and rest in him through the storm too. But sometimes we don't find rest. It's hard. It's a journey, and it's difficult. But sometimes it is his will that he gives us rest. And it's not always, it seems to me, that it's not always a direct reaction to our choice. It's out of God's good pleasure. It's out of his overall purpose for your life that he gives you rest or he gives you a storm. And we know that a year ago, there was a storm. Came into our congregation, came into Linford's family. We don't understand all that. And this is what gives me comfort, to know that God gives a storm and God gives the rest. And it's not always a direct response to what we have done. We know. We don't know the mind of God, and we cannot put him into our box. Number 8. Interesting verse, Psalm 55, and I'm not getting all the verses that relate. I put in my computer the search for rest in the whole Bible, and it came up with Do you want to narrow your search because it brought up too many? Psalm 55, verse 6 says this, and maybe you thought of this one. The context, this is a pretty familiar psalm, but it says a psalm of David. Verse 5 says, "Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." I like that verse, because sometimes I feel like flying away and being at rest. Maybe I'm alone in that. I think we've all felt that way. Now, I don't know if this was spoken tongue-in-cheek or was he actually serious about this. I'm not sure. He probably was serious. He was in trauma. I'm not sure what kind of... I didn't study this to try to figure out what exactly was going on here. That's beside the point, because we all get into situations sometimes where we want to fly away. Just get me out of here. But really, that is a selfish thought, because we can't always fly away. So rest is not always at our choosing. Sometimes where God is calling us to not be at rest, we need to be comfortable with that. We need to be resting on Him, that God would give us strength to carry through. Number 9 is Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17. Shifting thoughts here somewhat, but I think it's related. Another aspect of rest, Proverbs 29, verse 17. "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." Correction and discipline in the home bring rest. That is certainly the goal of every father here, every mother, I believe, to have a home that is at rest. And God here is saying, what gives rest? Correction and discipline always gives rest. And we can widen this beyond the aspect of fathers and mothers relating to preteen, adolescent, or very young children, even in our own lives as adults, when we feel the hand of correction upon us from God, it gives us rest because we know we need it. We know that correction and discipline resolves the matter. It brings closure to the issue. And I believe it's God's will this morning that we find rest in home life. And one of the ways that this happens is through correction. Yes, our homes are sometimes not at rest. Sometimes there's confusion, sometimes there's turmoil, sometimes there's stresses. Sometimes parents are grappling with an issue and trying to find their way through it, and sometimes it's not always peaceful. But as a father and mother can agree and bring correction, bring a resolving of the matter, it brings rest. And that is important. Number 10. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." The first time I read this verse, I just thought, well, this is stick with the tried and the proven. Stop searching for some gadget to take all your difficulties away. Stick with the old way. Stick with what's what worked in the past, why try to reinvent the wheel, and so on. And there's a lot of truth in that, and I think we can look at it from that perspective. Sometimes the old ways were not the best ways. That is also true. But as I researched, as I studied this a little more, it seemed to have the thought of a traveler on a road stopping for asking directions because he's unsure of the way. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. So you put yourself as a traveler traveling and you come to a place where you're not sure where it is, and your wife encourages you to ask someone. And so then we maybe get to the point where we ask someone how to go. And we ask an old timer that's there, and he obviously he speaks with experience, and he knows, and you can tell that he knows what he's talking about. But you say, no, I don't want to do that. You turn around and go the opposite direction. We think how foolish. But I think that's what this word is, that's what this verse is saying. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the right way to go, and where is the good way, and then go and walk therein, and you're going to find rest. But when we don't take the direction that God gives us, when we go astray away from what the brotherhood is calling us, what we know God wants us to do, we don't find rest. The true and right way brings rest, but the wrong way brings unrest and heartache. Stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein? And you shall find rest. Okay, number 11, Zephaniah 3:17. As I read this verse, I was reminded of Brother Johnny's devotional. Not sure when it was, but he had referenced this verse that God wants to joy over us with singing. And that's not the thought I have. There's another thought in this verse. It's also new to me. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. He will rest in his love. And I'm not sure if I understand all that exactly what is being said there. But what a comfort it is to feel the smile of God's approval on our lives. And I believe that's what it's referring to. He will rest in his love. He will comfort us in his love. He will be comforted in his love for us. His smile of approval brings rest. And that's an important aspect of rest from God's perspective. And I'm not sure it's a little difficult for us as humans to try to get our minds into God's mind, which we cannot do at all. But you know, we are the recipients of that. When God's smile of approval is on us, it brings us rest. That's just the way it is. It's a glorious rest. Okay, New Testament, Mark, this is number 12, Mark 6, verse 31. The words of Jesus. Verse 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. It must have been a busy time. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Jesus here recognized a need in the disciples' lives and in his own life. I believe, although it maybe not specifically implies that he needed the rest. I'm sure he did, because other verses would say that Jesus needed to rest as well. But Jesus said, "Come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while." There is a place for vacation and rest. This is bringing in the physical aspect of it. And I think it's good for families to do that. And I would encourage you to do that. We do not need to go days or hours away every time. Jesus found it close to where he was, I believe, although it doesn't say exactly. They departed, verse 32 says, they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Well, what's interesting is here they did not find the rest they were looking for. They did not find their leisure time because the crowds followed them. But that was Jesus' intent, that they come apart and rest a while. And often when we do go on vacation and rest, and we find ways of ministering to people around us, and that's good as well. But there is a place to come apart and rest. Jesus himself here had that in mind for his disciples. Number 13, backing up a bit to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the most important point of the sermon this morning, that rest is found in Jesus. If you're away from Jesus this morning, you will not have rest. But if you're safe in the arms of Jesus, if you're walking with him, you will find rest. Because Jesus is rest. Rest is not found in Myrtle Beach. It's not found in Assateague Island. It's not found at Babcock State Park in West Virginia. I know, because I was at those places, resting and trying to find vacation. But I didn't find true rest there. I found true rest in Jesus Christ. That's where we need to find it. That's where we need to go. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." That is true rest. Number 14 is Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. We'll just simply read the verse. "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied." Then had the churches rest. This is an aspect of rest from the perspective of the brotherhood in the church. And rest in church life is a tremendous blessing. To God be the glory this morning. I'm thankful for the rest that I find here. I'm thankful for each one of you, for your part. Because the church leaders cannot force rest onto a people that don't want it. And vice versa. It's a working together, and it's a blessing. And I appreciate the input of each one of you. We see the results of this rest. When there is rest in the church, there is edification. Everyone is encouraged. There is a walking in the fear of the Lord. In other words, our daily lives show it. In other words, and it's that last part of the Sunday school lesson we did not get to, that honesty, that light that is in our hearts and that is showing on the outside as well. That's another result of this rest and the presence of the Lord and the presence of His Holy Spirit, the comfort of the Holy Ghost it mentions. And it also says that they multiplied. So church extension and growth is a result of rest in church life. Or maybe the rest in church life is a result of the others. Anyway, they all work together, and it's a beautiful thing. To God be the glory. Well, you knew this one was coming yet. Number 15, Hebrews 4, verse 9, you don't need to turn there, says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." You can turn to Revelation 14, verse 13. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." The people of God this morning are expecting a rest. It's a heavenly rest. It's a rest we've never experienced yet. All of us here are alive. And we're looking forward to that rest. But we know that there's some among us that are already at rest. Some of us have mothers and fathers that are at rest. Some of us have brothers and sisters that are at rest. And some parents here have sons and daughters that are at rest. And we remember that. And it gives us encouragement that there is a rest remaining to the people of God. May God help us to be faithful so we can be at rest with Him through eternity. And may we each encourage each other on the way. Let's kneel for prayer.